You can turn to Genesis chapter 37 if you'd like to. We're going to get started there. I mentioned we were going to look at something regarding Moses. I guess Moses hadn't quite made the scene in Genesis 37, but this will be relevant. Genesis chapter 37, we're just going to look at one verse. Before we look at it, I'll mention last week, remember Jesus in Matthew 16, he was told these people beware of the leaven of these other people. And they said, oh, leaven? Bread, got it. And then Jesus did not exactly congratulate them for, you know, okay, that's good, you didn't change what I said. He didn't congratulate them. Rather, he admonished them for stopping their mental activity once they made the connection with bread. So we're going to look at a word where maybe we can follow the example of the disciples after they had been admonished. It's here in Genesis chapter 37. We're just going to look at one verse here. Verse 4. Says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him, Joseph, more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now the second word in that verse, is it the word because?
No,
it isn't, is it? It's the word what?
When.
When relates to time, right? Mm-hmm. Just like leaven relates to bread. So, it says, and when. Do you think that maybe the first part of this verse has absolutely nothing to do with the last part of this verse? You know, just God's giving you the time. You know, it was 4:15 in the afternoon. That's when, you know, his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. And so that's when they hated him. It was 4:15 in the afternoon or whatever. Is that what God is saying?
No.
Not exactly. You know, the word when relates to time. But don't you get the feeling that it also is relating to cause in this verse? Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 2. Same sort of thing. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. When? Time. Not cause, right? God's not saying that's the reason why he was hungry. It was just, you know, it was 3:15 in the morning. That was when the 40 days and 40 nights was over with. And this has nothing to do with his fasting. It's just that was the time when he was hungry. No. It's the same thing as the previous verse. The when in the first part of the verse really gives the reason for the second part of the verse. Look at Acts chapter 21. So even though when does relate to time, it's sort of similar to leaven does relate to bread. But not always. What chapter? 21, right? Acts 21. Verse 14 says, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying the will of the Lord be done. Again, does it sort of seem like maybe that word when might be indicating the cause or the reason? You know, it wasn't just, you know, it was 11:23. And that's when we realized, so that's when we stopped. No, it was the first part of the verse, and when gives the reason for the second part of the verse. You know, so we don't want to do when time stop. You know, we want to be like the disciples after Jesus had admonished them. He said, why do you not have any mental activity? Oh, that's right. And then they realized he was talking, the leaven was referring to the doctrine. If you turn to Exodus chapter 3, now we'll take a look at something about Moses. Exodus chapter 3. This is a verse, you know, I used to have a full head of hair until I started reading this verse. And every time I read this verse, I tear out a little bit more hair and, well, speaks for itself. I just couldn't, for the life of me, why did God put that in there? I just couldn't get it. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush wasn't consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. He said, I'm right here. I couldn't get it. Put yourself in Moses' sandals. Here, did Moses have a gas furnace to heat his house? No. Whenever Moses wanted to heat his dwelling place, what did he have to do? Start a fire, burn wood. If Moses wanted to cook something, what did he go to his electric stove and turn the stove on? What did he have to do? Burn wood, start a fire. Moses wanted a cup of coffee. You know, did he go to his coffee maker and push a button? No. Moses had to start a fire to boil the water to make his coffee. Moses knew what burnt wood looked like. We have natural gas furnaces, gas or natural gas or electric, whatever it is, stoves, ovens, propane tanks for our gas grills outside, coffee makers. Who in here would not turn aside if you saw a bush burning and you could tell the leaves are not curling up? You know, the smoke isn't going up, I guess. Doesn't say anything about smoke one way or the other. But if you saw a bush burning and it wasn't burning up, who wouldn't turn aside to look? That's sort of like, you know, if verse 4 said, or verse 3 or whatever it was, if he saw a cow flying through the air and he turned aside to see. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, who wouldn't? I couldn't get it. Why did God put that thing? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, who wouldn't? I could never get it. Remember, if you turn to Acts chapter 7, remember last week we looked in Proverbs 1:6 about the words of the wise and their puzzles? Sometimes God doesn't put everything in one spot. You sort of got to collect the pieces of the puzzle. This is one of those things. There's a guy named Stephen. He's given a history lesson to some folks. And we're going to start in verse 22, see if we can put together another piece of the puzzle or so. Verse 22 says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them or was delivering them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? You going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying and was a stranger or a foreigner in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, now wait a minute, how old was he back in verse 23?
40.
He was 40. Now, in verse 30, it says, and when 40 years were expired, so how old is he now?
80.
He's 80. There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. So here in verse 31, it tells us something that we really didn't see in Exodus 3, and Exodus 3 taught us something that we're not seeing here. Exodus 3 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside. It doesn't say that here. Here it says, when he saw it, he wondered, and as he drew near. It doesn't say, and when the Lord saw him. But here in Exodus 3, it said, Moses said, I'll now turn aside, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside. But here it tells us that he drew near. So he had turned aside and he drew near to look at this bush. The thing that, well, before we look closer at this, keep your finger here, okay? Look at Luke chapter 2. Keep your finger here. Because it said in verse 25 that he supposed his brethren would have understood. Where's Luke? It's after Mark, right? Luke chapter 2. I wanted to look at that word suppose. It's, you know, I'm not going to give you the Greek word. Truthfully, I don't even know what it is. But it's the same Greek word. In Luke chapter 2, if you look at, they had gone, Jesus and his family, they had gone to Jerusalem. Now they're getting ready to go back home. Verse 44 says, but they, you know, talking about Joseph and Jesus' mother, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their relatives, their kinsfolk and acquaintance. The word supposing, do you get the idea there that when Joseph and Mary supposed that Jesus was in the company, that here's what they said, well, more likely than not, he probably is, you know, usually he is. You don't really get that in front. They were two wonderful believers. God did not just entrust his only begotten son to just anybody. They were two wonderful believers, two wonderful parents, step-parents, however you want to say it, with Joseph. They were knowing, and they did know, this is God's kid. They're not going to say, well, more likely than not, it's probably. You know, so it's, you get the idea of, you know, that the thought never really crossed their mind that he would not be. You know, if the thought crossed their mind that he wouldn't be, let's just make sure. But this is like, okay, let's get started going. And after the day was over with, hey, where's Jesus? You know, is he playing with the other kids this age? Where is he? And they couldn't find him. Then they went back. But the word supposing, you know, it wouldn't be a thought worth seriously considering that he wasn't there. Look at Acts chapter 14. Another one. Acts chapter 14, verse 19, says, and there came there certain Judeans from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Ever see any crime scene photos? I think of Pablo Escobar. That's not one where you wouldn't think there'd be a whole lot of doubt left. But, you know, same thing here. You know, is he dead? You know, you can just see, you know, whoever these guys' names were talking to each other. Hey, what do you think? Is he dead? Is he dead? Look at him. That guy's dead. You know, so they dragged him out of the city. The thought just never crossed their mind that he would not be. Look at him. You think any human body in that kind of a condition could still be alive? The guy is dead. That's the word supposing. If you look at Acts chapter 16, we'll pick up one more. And again, not just the English word, it's the same Greek word, whatever it is. Acts chapter 16, verse 27, says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Here's the keeper of the prison. You're having a good night's sleep. All of a sudden, the ground is shaking and whatever. You wake up. All the prison doors are open. Oh, yeah, I'm sure all the prisoners will still be there. Oh, I'm sure they... Of course they're going to be gone. What, do you think they're going to stay there? Supposing that they had been fled. What else are they going to do? That's that word, supposing. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 7, and you look at verse 25. Now, again, we're keeping in mind, why did God say that? And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. Verse 25, he, Moses, supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they didn't understand. The thought never crossed his mind that they would not understand. But they didn't. And as the record progresses, Moses ends up having to run for his life. He's a resident alien in a foreign land for 40 years. Keep this in mind. Keep your finger here too, I guess. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. It might be a minute before we read these verses. Put yourself in Moses' sandals. You know, you just knew they were going to understand that God by my hand is delivering them. Then, not only do they not understand, you, Moses, I got to run for my life or else I'm going to get killed. A little bit different than them understanding that God's going to deliver them by my hand. I got to leave the country. Doesn't say he changed his name or his social security number, but you know, he was ducking undercover 40 years. And basically all God tells us about that 40 years, he had a wife and two kids for 40 years. Again, you're Moses. Right after that happened, I mean, even as you're running away, you're saying, what the heck happened? I thought it was going to go this way. What happened? A year later, maybe, you're still asking yourself, what happened? 5 years later, what happened? 10 years later, you know, not so much, because, but you still, if it crosses your mind, you're still saying, what happened? 20 years later, whatever. 30 years later, 40 years later, I got a wife, I got two kids, we got a good sheep business going here. You know, what happened? Who knows? You know. Now, with that in mind, look at John chapter 5. We're just going to pick it up in verse 5. It says, and a certain man was there who had an infirmity, how long?
38 years.
Not quite 40 like Moses in the wilderness, but pretty close. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, I know you want to be made whole. No, it's not what he said, is it? What did he say?
Yes.
Will you be made whole? Do you want to? Do you want to be made whole? You could read the rest. We're going to stop there. The guy did not say to Jesus, but he sort of could have, what do you think I'm doing here? Shopping for sandals? You know, I mean, that everybody that was there, that's why they were there. It's like, here, you run into the emergency room and you run up to the front desk and they say, do you want a ham and cheese sandwich? What? This isn't a deli. What do you think I'm doing here? The same with that guy. But Jesus did not say to him, well, since you're here, I know that you want to be made whole. He asked him, do you want to? Why would you ask a guy that's in the hospital or whatever at this location, why would you ask him? Again, put yourself in this guy's sandals. First year you had this situation, whatever it was, you're really going for it. 5 years later, you still want to get delivered, do you? 10 years later, 20 years later, a lot of people, and I know this, they just make peace with the situation, whatever it is. They say, well, it is what it is. Do you want to be made whole? Look, I'm good. I made my peace with this thing a long time ago. Go heal somebody else. I'm good. Jesus asked this guy, do you want to be made whole? Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 7, here he is. You know, he supposed, the thought never crossed his mind that they wouldn't understand. But they didn't. Not only did Moses not continue at that time delivering them, he had to run for his life to keep from getting killed. He's in a strange land, marrying the daughter of a foreigner, has a couple kids. Verse 30, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him. Moses knew what burning wood looked like, right? Did Moses know that when a bush gets set on fire and it is not consumed, did Moses know that that is not natural?
Most likely.
One would think. Every time I boil water for coffee, you know, the wood burns up. Or if I go to heat my tent, either way, you know, or mud hut, whatever he lived in, I always burn wood, it always burns up. There's a bush that's on fire, it's not burning up. Moses knew this is not natural. What about that guy at the pool there? Do you want to be made whole? I made my peace with this thing. Could Moses have said, somewhere within that 40 years, when he supposed that his brethren would have understood, 5 years later, or 10 years later, or 20 years later, I don't know what happened, I thought they were going to realize God was delivering me by delivering them by my hand. Whatever happened, I don't know. But I made my peace with it. Whatever it was is what it was getting on with my life. You know, I'm 80 years old now. Here's a bush over there burning. Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is. You know, 40 years ago, I was ready to go. Maybe when I was 45, I'm pretty sure I was still good to go. When I was 50, I'm pretty sure still. When I was 60, good possibility. 70, now I'm 80. I got a wife and two kids. The house is all paid for. 401k is doing pretty good. You know, I'm 80 years old. I was good to go 40 years ago. Now you're burning the bush for me? I don't know. Why don't you go burn that bush for somebody else? Could have said that. Not saying that's the whole reason, but wouldn't that kind of make sense with Exodus chapter 3, verse 4? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, as opposed to maybe saying, you know, standing right here and looking, not turning aside, just standing right here and saying, oh, you again. You know what? Try somebody else. I'm 80 years old. You know, I was good to go back then. What happened? I don't know. But he didn't, did he? He turned aside to behold. You think Moses did not know who was lighting that bush on fire for him, so to speak? He had to have known this is not natural. Why would he not only turn aside, but even he's getting closer and closer. It says he drew near to look, right? If you look in Exodus chapter 33, I think there's a good hint. Exodus chapter 33. Of course, you know, this chapter of Exodus, this is after Moses had already done all of those signs in front of Pharaoh and in Egypt. After the children of Israel had already left Egypt with great spoil. After God had already, you know, because of Moses' attentiveness to God, Moses' obedience to God, parted the Red Sea. They walked through after the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. This verse we're going to read is after all of those things had happened. And if you look at verse 13, after all of those things had happened, Moses said to God, now therefore I pray you, if I found grace in your sight, show me now thy way that I may what? Know thee. That I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Are you kidding me? After Moses had been involved hand in hand with God in all of the things that Moses, God said, do this. Moses recognized that was God. He didn't say, that just doesn't make any sense. He did it. He obeyed. And this happened. Same sequence next time. Same sequence time after that, time after that, time after that. And it must have had some effect on Moses' mind also. Yeah, it's great. God told you to do such and such and you did it. But still, you know, put down your rod, it's going to turn into a snake. Okay, whoa, it still has to have some effect on your mind. Now grab it by the tail. You don't grab a snake by the tail, grab it by the head. He said grab it by the tail, so he grabbed it by the tail. After all those things, Moses is saying to God, I want to know you. Did he want to know God when he was 40? You'd think. You know, he supposed his brethren would have understood, but they didn't. It doesn't say, I guess he's 81 or so. It's shortly after that whole flaming fire thing took place. After all those events, he's telling God, I want to know you. That would seem, remember, you know, we could turn there. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Is that the right chapter? Hope so. Luke chapter 5. Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned this last week or not. Verse 38 says, but new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. I don't know if it was, I don't think I mentioned last week. If I did, it didn't hurt you to hear it again. I did? Okay. That's two entirely different words for new there, right? One, the new, the first word where it says new wine, that Greek word means new in time or new in age. And in the second word where it says it must be put into new bottles, that word new, it's an entirely different word in Greek. It's a word meaning new in quality. So you could have a bottle, and these bottles, they were goat skins or whatever animal skins they were. A new bottle or a new goat skin or whatever would have that elasticity like new leather does. It's supple. You know, it moves, it expands. An old quality bottle would be like crusty and dry and hard. And if it went to expand from that grapefruit, grape juice, whatever it was, then it would break. But here it says new wine must be put into bottles that are new in quality. A bottle that's old in time could still be new in quality if it had been properly cared for and maintained. You know, it could be, well, like Moses, 80 years old, you know, still have that elasticity. Moses thought they would have understood when he was 40. Here he is 80, he sees a bush burning over there. Did Moses say, no, you know what, I'm set in my ways, go burn it for somebody else? He didn't. He still had that elasticity in his mind. And Exodus 33:13 really gave us a good hint as to why he still had that. He just wanted to know God. He still had that eagerness to know God. And when it says here, new wine must be put into new bottles. You know, obviously, it says in verse 36, it's a parable. So Jesus is not trying to tell them, take good care of your wine bottles. He's trying to communicate, you know, take good care of your noggins. You know, and it seems from looking at Moses that his eagerness to know God had a lot to do with his acceptance of God's instructions that God gave him, and even his desire to want to even go over there and listen to whatever it was that burning bush was going to tell him. So it would seem from looking at Moses and from looking at this that a good way to care for one's mind is, like Moses, to just maintain that eagerness to know God. And if a person does that, they get a new bottle or keep a well-maintained bottle, so to speak, and then information from God, which might not be, you know, what I think it should be, that mind will still be capable of accepting that information. So I thought that was great about Moses, the newness of his mind, despite being 80 years old, you know, and if he could do it, maybe we could too.